Hi, this is Russ from the organization Shatter the Darkness. We are going to start with session 4 in Dynamic Discipleship. And I just hope that you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whether in the last number of months or years. Either way, these are foundational biblical principles that build our spiritual life, that builds the platform for a relationship with God, bearing fruit in our personal lives, and learning how to live with victory in our lives as believers. So, New Life in Christ, Dynamic Discipleship Series. This comes from Shatter the Darkness, which you can find on the web at www.shatterthedarkness.net. And let me just have a word of prayer right now, trusting that God will encourage you and strengthen you. And I just simply pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen each and every person that comes to listen, to study, to dig into the Word of God, who wants to be an empowered disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. How to know the presence and the power of God, Father. I pray that by your Spirit, you will guide and direct, and by the Word of God speak, and cause each of us to encounter deeper and deeper your presence, and also the power that you've placed within us and upon us, and that we can exhibit in our life as a believer. Father, I pray right now that you'll minister to everyone listening and all their needs. Protect their time as they study. Protect their commitments as they yield to the Word of God, and cause them to continue to grow. Father, I'm very confident, as Philippians 1:6 says, that you who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion to the very day of Christ Jesus. Bless each one with that confidence in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friend, welcome. And this study is session 4, How to Know the Presence and Power of God. And I hope that as you listen to the broadcast right here, you will also take time to either download the notes, print them out, take time to write as you go along, maybe even take those scripture verses on the right-hand side of the page and put them on 3x5 cards, and throughout this week maybe begin to memorize some of those. I mean, one of the most powerful ones in the scriptures, I really believe, is when we're reading the Gospel of John, chapter 1, where it tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And in reference to the Word of God, the written Word of God, we have this revelation of the person of Christ being called the Word. Down in verse 14 of that same chapter, chapter 1, it simply says this: the Word, referring to Christ, the eternal Christ, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now again, there's one scripture that brings revelation about Jesus, who he was, who he is, what he's done. And it's a tremendous thing. You've got to take time on every single verse to study them and look over them again and again. Well, I say on the notes this: God exists. He is there whether a person knows him or not. He is present everywhere at all times. God is unlimited, infinite, and omnipresent. Omnipresent means there's nowhere in the universe, nowhere in all of creation can anyone go that God is not there. In theology, we call this also the locality of God. Where is God located? Well, in our relationship, we can talk about coming before the throne of grace. He's located inside of us as believers. He's located outside of us. There's not a place in all of existence that God is not located. And that's why you can take time, wherever you're at, to begin to talk to the Lord, to fellowship with the Lord, to worship Him, to seek Him, and to point others to Him. God is unlimited, infinite, and omnipresent. As we read in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go? Where can I flee from your presence? The answer simply is nowhere. As a believer, that's the good thing. That's the good thing in which, no matter where we're at, missionaries that have been taken captive in jails or placed in places on other foreign soils where they had no one around them to help them, yet they cried out to God and God ministered to them, and God was there and God was powerfully there. Paul and Silas in prison in the New Testament, God was there. And so wherever you're at, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you now have the indwelling Holy Spirit. You are now in unceasing, unbroken fellowship with the living Christ. And you can cry out to Him, you can praise Him, you can worship Him, you can walk with Him, you can seek Him anywhere, anytime. And that's the exciting thing of knowing our personal Lord Jesus. Now listen, many Christians, you know, that have grown up and have not had the foundations of biblical truth built into their lives. And it does seem like their spiritual life is subnormal. Maybe they think just by going to church on Sunday morning, that's where they can meet God. And they have somewhat of a basic relationship. Well, God doesn't sit in the building every, you know, and wait till we show up on Sunday. It's great to gather, whether it's in a big old building, whether it's in a field somewhere, in a hut, you know, in Africa or wherever it may be. We are still gathering in the presence of Jesus. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture that's really great out of Matthew that says, Jesus said, when two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we're talking there about the manifest presence of God. God is always present, even right now in your life and my life as a believer in Christ. Christ is in me, whether I feel completely His presence. Now, after some 30-some years, I'm very familiar with His presence, and I know that presence. Matter of fact, this last week I went to do a speaking engagement in Pennsylvania, and as I was walking into the building where I was going to be speaking and teaching, individuals were there already. Believers in Christ were there, and they were praying and praising God. And as I was walking into the building, I can sense and feel that manifest presence of Christ, the living Christ. I can sense the Spirit of the Lord as I walked in. And I tell you what, it's a tremendous thing. Big smile came on my face. God was in the midst of His people already there, and it was a wonderful time. Now, when you take a look even at creation, and I mentioned Psalm 19, if you want to even go there some, you know, at some moment, just click on wherever you see it linked. It's usually in purple. And you'll be able to read the scriptures there. There's times also that I'll put scriptures there for you to look up in your own Bible, to get familiar with your Bible, looking up scripture and knowing them. The Bible says in Psalm 19 that even creation itself, it knows and testifies to the unceasing presence and power of God, that the heavens declare the glory of God. It pours forth speech. Literally, it's speaking to the rest, acknowledging the very divine qualities of God, the attributes of God, the invisible qualities, even as Romans chapter 1 says. Creation speaks of the presence and existence of God. Now, that's what we would call general revelation, or natural revelation, whereas the Bible is special revelation, and it gives us a revelation of God put in words, where in those words we have God's character, person, being described. We have the acts of God seen and demonstrated. We have the instruction that God gives, the promises, the offer, the call, and we have all of this. And even in the Bible, the presence of God is in the words. God uses His words. The Bible says that the Word of God is living and active. That tells us something, that they're not dead words on a page. That God is literally, even as Jesus would quote Old Testament, He would say, and God says to you, not just said in the past, but is saying right now. So the great news is, as you look at Scripture and as you read, it doesn't make any difference where you open up. God is speaking. God is speaking, and in that speaking, you can encounter His presence. You can encounter His power and see what God is doing in your life and calling you and showing you and revealing to you. Well, God is awesome and beyond all that is, but He is also the most personal and powerful being that exists. Let me say that again. God is awesome and beyond all that is. In the book of Isaiah, God reveals in chapter 46 when he says, "For I am God and there is no other. For I am God and there is none like me." There really is no one like God, infinite, immeasurable, omnipresent, omniscient, knowing all things, omnipotent, having all the power. But this living, incredible, awesome, high God is also the most personal and relational. That's what God is. God is personal and relational, creating us to be in His image. Even after the fall of the human race in our own sin, in Christ, there's a complete destruction of the issue of sin, a washing, a cleansing, a removal. And God has come to live within us now. And this is where the presence of God at one point was on the outside of your life. And now, my friend, in Christ, as you have gotten saved, the living presence of God has now come on the inside of you. Now, this is an amazing thing. Think about it for a moment. God is everywhere without question. Even creation knows the presence of God. There's no question about that as you read Psalm 19 or read Romans chapter 8 or Romans chapter 1. Even creation knows of God's presence. That is very clear. It knows what God's going to do in the future, in the redemption of creation, a new heavens and new earth. And that's just something that blows my mind sometimes when I think about what God is going to do, because the universe is so big, creation is so vast, yet it's nothing really as far as size in comparison to the immeasurability, the inability to measure the height, depth, length, width of God. Now, this is very revealing about the nature of sin. As sinners lost, we did not have the presence of God on the inside. We were dead to God. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 down on, you're going to read about how we were dead in our trespasses and sins. God was on the outside. God was knocking at our door, yes, in salvation. But we were dead to God, and God is not located in the heart and life of an individual that rejects God, that is not saved. Let me read this off of our notes. Before we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that's salvation, we were dead to God. That is, we were separated from God because of our sin and Satan's ownership. At the moment of salvation, Christ came into our lives. The presence of God is both on the outside and now on the inside of our lives. He is forever beyond us, yes, but also, now in Christ, He is within us forever. As a matter of fact, in John's Gospel, when you study chapters 14 through 17, tremendous amount of revelation on the work of the Holy Spirit that you will experience in your life. And we're told there that we would receive the Spirit of Truth who would be in us forever. Forever. So dwelling in you right now is the presence of the Spirit of God, the infinite Spirit of God. God, the Holy Spirit, has come into you. You have been born again, born from above. Your spirit is alive to God, and therefore now inseparable. There is an unceasing relationship because the living personal God is dwelling in you. And from within your spirit, your soulical side, your personality side, even your body is considered now to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Awesome. So that again, your relationship with God is, and you're going to see me say here down the road in this study, is there ever a time that that God leaves you, that walks away from you and so forth? Do you have to call God to come back? Absolutely not. As a believer in Jesus Christ, Christ being in you, He stays, and the relationship is there. And when you have that foundation, that God is within, unceasing, unbroken, then, my friend, worship will be able to be so much easier. Fellowship with God is so much easier. Just, there's times that we need to sit back and just kind of close our eyes and acknowledge Christ in me, the hope of glory. That I acknowledge deeply within me right now, the living Christ dwells within. God the Holy Spirit, that I, by the blood of Jesus and by his righteousness, am now a sacred temple in which God now dwells. Listen, Jesus said in John 17:26, I had refer as he's praying to God the Father, he's praying to the Father, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. What an incredible God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, high order of Trinity, beyond our ability to completely comprehend, but it is within our ability to worship and to stand in amazement. The love that the Father has for the Son is eternal, unbroken, and forever. Jesus is referring now to the Father's love, and he says, the love you have for me, may it be in them. Can you imagine that now? This corresponds with 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Look how much love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. God the Father loves us. God the Father loved us so much, he sent his Son into the world. The monogenesis is the Greek word, the only begotten or the only one of a kind. Christ is absolutely unique. There is no one like him. God in human flesh. And the love God the Father had for God the Son is now to be upon you and in you. And Jesus says that I myself may be in them. Take a few moments and acknowledge the living Christ dwelling within you. Take a few moments to acknowledge the living presence of God. Even in Colossians chapter 1, it says, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, that's what salvation is all about. And whatever background you've come from, it doesn't make any difference. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means he has entered into your life by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The presence of God has come to be with, dwell within you. Anybody who is born of the Spirit of God, as Jesus says you must be in order to enter the kingdom of God, John chapter 3. If you're born of the Spirit, that means that God has literally come to live within your life, and the presence of God now is within. So if on your notes you take a look at point one, God's presence with and in us. Now listen, I know that he's with me. Jesus said, I'll be with you to the end of the age, referring to our commitment to the Great Commission as we're out winning souls to Christ and seeing them get baptized and teaching them and discipling them, that Jesus would be with us. And I would assume that right now, since we are doing discipleship together, that Jesus Christ is with us. You can be in Germany, in England, in Australia, in Canada, anywhere in the United States, and wherever you are listening right now, I know that from where I have done this recording, the living presence of Jesus is with me, let alone in me. And I've got his friendship, his help, his love, and that's why I love sharing. And in the process of discipleship, and though it be dynamic, in other words, the power of God is involved in that discipleship, growing up in Christ, this leads us more and more and more to the felt presence of God. And so I say this on the notes, the felt presence of God is the witness of his living existence and joy of knowing God. Now, this is the witness of the very, you know, work of God in our lives too. So when you're sitting there right now and maybe you're rejoicing and praising God, maybe if you take time just to sing a praise song unto God and you have that sense of the felt presence of God, well, that's that manifest presence. God's always in the believer and with the believer. Even times when you and I slip up or whatever, we can grieve the Spirit of God, Ephesians chapter 4, through some kind of sin or anger or bitterness or whatever else, that we need just to repent of that and say, Lord, forgive me, and I yield back. And because grieving the Spirit of God makes him sorrowful, and it kind of diminishes the felt sense of his presence. Also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we can put out the Spirit's fire by refusing to be an on-fire, Spirit-filled witness for Christ. We can put out the Spirit's fire. by dampening people's testimonies and so forth. So it's possible, even as a believer, to put out the fire. Now that would be, again, the felt presence and power of God in and on believers as they're witnesses of Jesus. So let me encourage you to stay on fire as God wills you to. It's we who put out the fire. God wants to keep the fire going. And we're to build, you know, we're to fan into the flame the gift of God, we're told in Timothy. And so we have a part in growing and acknowledging and fellowshipping with God. And some of the things that keep us in that fire of God is, yes, fellowshipping and worshiping and getting in the Word, obviously stepping out to be a witness for Jesus. Prayer will keep us in that sense of fire, of His living, moving, acting presence. And that's the exciting thing. Well, let me mention a couple of things here. We experience the presence, or you can say the felt presence of God. And I encourage you to study and look, you know, just click on these verses if you're on the web or look them up in your Bible. As God calls to us to salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus said that He would be lifted up. When He's lifted up on the cross, when the work of Christ is done and He's lifted up, from that point on, He would draw, because up to that point, there was a particular work on the nation of Israel. The Jews were being called. It's the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and then for the Gentile. That just simply means not because of superiority, it's just function. God was operating with a people to bring about Messiah, to bring them to salvation in function first, and then bring that salvation to the rest of the world, which the Bible would refer to the rest of the world as Gentiles. During the time up to when Jesus came and during His life, there was a basic calling out to the Jewish nation. That God was drawing them through Old Testament means. But the tremendous thing in John 12:32 is that Jesus said when He is lifted up, again referring to the cross and His work there, when all of that is done, a new thing would happen. He would draw. That word draw means by the power of the Spirit of God. He would speak to and move upon and begin to draw and pull towards Himself. He would draw all men. This is now a universal drawing. God would begin to call and draw and move. Anybody you witness to, God is going to be drawing. Jesus said He would be drawing them and moving them and calling them to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, just as you did. And so if you're saved right now, that New Testament broad, universal drawing was what helped bring you to Christ. God may have used individuals to preach Christ to you so that drawing could take an effect. No one can get saved without that drawing. No one can get saved without hearing. We can read that in Romans chapter 10. How can they believe on whom they've not heard? See, faith comes from hearing the word or the message of the gospel. But in that gospel is the power of God. And there is a living, active drawing. Now that's the presence of God, the power of God, as He is moving on us when we are lost, when we're outside of Him, to bring us to Himself. Now we also have, at the moment of salvation, as Christ comes to live in us by the Spirit of God. Now all through the book of Romans, specifically chapter 8, there's this consistent reference. The very beginning, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Referring to the dynamic victory now we have, not only forgiveness, but victory over sin. And we're going to read in Romans chapter 8 about how the Spirit of God is now dwelling in you, the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, that Christ is dwelling in you. Literally, this is a great chapter of this permanent living, indwelling presence of God in Christ in you. Hallelujah. Christ is in you. And the Word of God is very clear about that in Romans chapter 8. Then we go to the next one. It says this: as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lets us know within that we are God's child, that we are God's child. Now that's also listed in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 on down, where we're told that we've not received the Spirit who is from the world, or the spirit of fear, But we've received the Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we can now cry out, Abba, Father, in the most intimate and personal. Because why? We are now in relationship with the Father. We are now, as the Father sees us as his child. Please understand the relational aspect. When my daughter was born, I cried out loud right in that delivery room. It's a girl. I was so excited. They saw the excitement was so deep and so broad with me. They hurried up and got her all cleaned up, and they allowed me to hold her immediately. And it's been a tremendous relationship with my own child. As I look at her, she's my offspring. And in even a deeper and broader way, dear friend, you are God's child. You are God's son or daughter. You are literally, you've been born into him. You have been born unto him in Christ. And the Spirit of the living God has come to live in you and release in you the ability, not only the immediate knowing of the love of the Father, of your being accepted, of your being his child, but the ability then to cry out to Abba Father. And address God. Not only is the almighty, powerful, everlasting, you know, immeasurable, infinite God, but as your personal God who loves you, and your Father. Awesome, as we see. Jesus said in the Gospels, no one can come to the Father but through me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. Because the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He didn't send his son to the world to condemn the world, as John 3:17 says. He sent his son into the world to save us. God the Father wanted to save us. God the Father, as we see predicted in Isaiah 53, would give up Jesus to be just beaten and whipped and by his stripes and so forth. We would be healed. We would be saved. We would be able to be brought back to God. He is the substitute who took all of the punishment for our sin. He's the substitute. Don't think there's anything you can do for your own sin. You can't. Even as a believer, if you stumble into some sin here or there, there's nothing you can do. You can say, well, I'll go to church five times a week. I'll give three times as much into my tithe money. No, that would be a disgrace, because the blood of Jesus and the work of Jesus, what he's done for you, is the only means to forgiveness instantly, washing and cleansing, and allowing the full presence of God to dwell in you and to be in fellowship and relationship with God. Well, the next point is this, simply. As we worship him in spirit and truth, you're going to experience the presence of God. You experienced it as he drew you to Christ. You experienced the moment as he's coming into your life. You experienced it along the way, as you know God the Holy Spirit lives in you and that you're a child of God. But also in your worship. Listen, as you get before the Lord and give praise and thanksgiving and give worship to God, I'm telling you that you're going to feel the manifest presence of God. There's even in the book of Psalms a scripture that talks about that God inhabits the praises of his people. That means he's dwelling in the praise and the worship. God was seeking, the Father was seeking worshipers. Again, look at the Father. The Father was seeking us. And by the Spirit of God, we came to Jesus and came into relationship, personal relationship. And now we can worship. Now we can bow down. Now we can give praise. Now we can have great and exceeding joy in his presence. Listen, and that means an interaction, a fellowship as you praise him, worship him. Oh, Christian, I would encourage you sometimes to get some praise music, whatever kind you like, older hymns, newer praise choruses and so forth, and just put them on if you have a CD or a tape player, and just put them on. Now you can go to the web, I believe, and find music there and put it on if you need to. And just take time to sing. See, I was never a singer. I was never a singer, never could, you know, never really into that. But, you know, when I got saved and began to learn to worship and began to sing those worship songs, as I sing the worship songs, those words acknowledge God's truth, his presence, his character, and so forth, and reminds me of who he is and how awesome it is. but it also causes an interaction to happen. In worship, you are literally face-to-face in personal fellowship, embrace with your God, with the Father, with the Lord Jesus. Now listen, you're also going to experience that felt or manifest presence as you pray. As you pray in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, as Ephesians 6:18 tells you, that we are to pray in the Spirit. In the original Greek language of the New Testament, that is called locative of spirit. Literally, it has the idea of in the spirit of, in the presence of the Spirit of God. See, He's the Spirit of prayer and supplication, of intercession. So when you go to prayer, just simply do this. Lord, I just pray the Holy Spirit help me right now. And as you begin to pour out in prayer, watch how the Holy Spirit inspires you, brings scripture to your mind, puts burdens and brings names of individuals and so forth to your mind, and causes you to experience the love of God for lost souls. So that's part of what is praying in the realm, the presence of the Spirit of God. Well, I pray that you are experiencing God daily. And I really encourage you to meet with the Lord daily, get in the Word, take some time for Word, worship, and prayer, and then just simply step out for the day to be a witness. It's one of the most exciting lives you can possibly have, and it's part of what discipleship is. You're taking up the cross to follow Christ. You're stepping out to obey God. And in that obedience, you will find your relationship getting deeper and broader and more powerful and fruitful also. Enormous things God will do through the life of the obedient believer. Well, I'm going to mention six ways to know better God's personal presence in your life. And I encourage you to look up the scriptures. I'm just going to mention them real quick. Acknowledge Him, His Christ. That means His personal presence in your life by faith. Because He's really there. So simply sometimes just say, Lord, I acknowledge You here. I acknowledge You. There's times I sometimes don't even feel, but right now I acknowledge Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I thank You, Lord, for living in me. And I thank You for being in me right now, never leaving me, never forsaking me. And I simply acknowledge You. So acknowledgement, acknowledge the truth. Now, B is similar in the sense of appropriating the truth of the Word of God. In this sense, wherever you read the Word of God, as you go to Hebrews 13, where it talks about there that you don't need to be afraid, that the Lord is your helper. And then you read a tremendous verse. It's very famous. And I think that it's great to memorize that the Scripture says that, referring to God, He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Now, in the original Greek, that negative word is used five times. There is such a powerful emphasis. I will never, 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 never leave you. I will never, 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 never forsake you. Isn't that tremendous? See, as a human father, as just a little human father, I have a great commitment for my daughter who's now 17. And I've never left her. And my commitment's been there to be her father, just to love her and care for her and oversee and watch and all these things as her father. Well, listen, I'm just simply a man. Think now about God Almighty the Father. How much more the Heavenly Father give good gifts, Jesus said, to them that ask. How much more the Father. So appropriating the truth of the Word of God means that you're literally bringing it into your experience. I'm accepting and appropriating that God has said to me, He will never leave me, never forsake me. Therefore, I will live in confidence so that when Satan tries to, bring some kind of involuntary feeling or thoughts or somebody might say, God's not with you or God's not in you. Or sometimes that's how the enemy works. Involuntary feelings, like a dark presence or feeling comes, or thoughts come to you, oh, God left you, God's not with you. Well, that's contrary to the Word of God. And so you're either going to believe the doubts that the enemy's throwing, those arrows of Ephesians 6, into your life, or you're going to believe the truth. When you begin to get caught up in the doubts, you begin to lose all sense of joy and confidence. But when you appropriate the truth and reject Satan's lies and appropriate truth wherever you find it in the New Testament, then you experience the truth you appropriate. Appropriation has the idea of putting it into practice, acknowledging it, trusting it, and so forth, and really counting on it. Well, see, worshiping God brings the manifest felt presence, and I already mentioned that. In Ephesians 5, we're told there about, you know, being filled with the Spirit and then singing and making music in our hearts and melody to God and so forth. So psalms, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, there's an interaction, again, of the felt presence of God. And I've already mentioned that. Under D, ask the Lord Jesus to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, you got to study Ephesians 1:17 on down. It's not, listen, as a believer for over 30 years, I've never searched for God again. I've only gone deeper. Christ came into my life, that ended my search for God. I just never have searched for him. I know God. I know God personally. God's my friend. And there's times that people that are not believers yet, New Agers and others, they're astounded. You know, as we're talking, that's, well, I know God. Well, how can you know God? Well, the Bible, you know, and I'll go and say what the Bible says, but I can say it on a personal basis. I've known God longer than I've known my wife. Matter of fact, out of anybody and everything all of my whole life, I know God better than anybody else I know. As I've walked in relationship with God for so long, he is the center of that, my relationship. And that's what it is. To be growing as a disciple, a dynamic disciple. Now, when it says in Ephesians that Paul is saying, I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you might know Jesus better. And that's a strange word, kind of, in the Greek, the original New Testament, epigenosis. The reason for the spirit of wisdom revelation, kind of like the spirit being just surging within you and surging upon you to give you inner insight, inner wisdom, and a revelation of what? Well, the goal of that is that you might know experientially, from the Greek word gnosis, experientially know Jesus. Now, when the scripture mentions there epigenosis, that you would completely, fully, deeply know Jesus, literally just know Jesus better and better and better. You can get to know people better and better and better. The more you around them, the more you talk with them, the more you spend time with them. That's the way it is with God. Now, as a believer in Christ, spend time with God. Get in the Word. That's spending time with God. In fellowship with God, talking to God, day by day by day. I can remember when I first got saved, man. I was literally looking during lunchtime at work. I'd go off by myself for one thing so I could read the Bible and learn things. And there's times that I do that to this very day. There's times that I long just to get away to be with God and fellowship with God and seek the Lord. And so that's tremendous, that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You would know Jesus even better. And I would pray you would experience that today, because that is experiential. I would pray right now for you, my friend, and ask you to pray that for me. Put up a prayer for me today. I would encourage you to do that, even as the Spirit leads you. But pray, and I would pray for you that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would know Jesus deeper and broader and better and better. And that's what will happen. Under E, we can also interact with the Word of God. Since it's living and active, since it's literally the voice of God, it's the only book whose author is always present. Now, I got a lot of the books around me, and many of these books, the authors are dead. They're gone. I couldn't call them up. The neat thing about the Bible as your central book, it is the book whose author is always present. God is upon and with and in, let alone beyond, the Word of God. So every time you open it and every time you begin to read, there can be a tremendous interaction. Ask the Lord when you're opening the Bible and beginning to read. Open my eyes, let me see. Talk to the Lord while you're reading. Ask him for meaning. He'll give you clarity. He'll help you understand. He'll open you more and more. That's a tremendous interaction, an experiential, that experiencing of the presence of God in that interaction. And then F, live a life of love as Jesus did. When you read 1 John, literally all the way through, a great book for all of us all the time, but for new believers especially to dig into, that if we live in love as he did, the Bible tells us that God will literally dwell in us, dwell with us. If we live a life of agape love as Jesus did, because he's given us of the Holy Spirit, there would be an experiential fullness. I believe this is true out of Ephesians chapter 3, that to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God involves agape love. If you're filled with the Spirit, filled with God, you're going to be filled with love. God so loved the world. God loved us. And God's love is supreme. And so one of the highest evidences of our being filled with God, of our knowing God, is this love that begins to be demonstrated through our lives. Love for the lost world, love in order to, you know, help people and feed people and clothe people and love brothers and sisters. Love is more powerful than sins and so forth and other things. The Bible says love overcomes a multitude of sins. So if you live a life of love, according to the book of 1 John, it's going to tell you that God will dwell deeply in an experiential sense. There'll be such an ease of personal experiential fellowship with God. Now that's tremendous. That is absolutely tremendous. Well, let's take a look, number two, about God's power with us and in us. Now, I don't want you to get the feeling that presence and power are separate. There's over here God's presence and over there God's power. Let me read this. God's power is a demonstration of his awesome presence. His power and presence are inseparable. As a Christian, you know him in a real and personal way. His presence has come to live in you by the work of his power. Now, I encourage you to look up the answers to these scriptures and do kind of your own little Bible study as you look up. You know, for example, how was Christ conceived in the Virgin Mary that God may visit us in person? Well, as you go to Luke 1:35, you're going to see it's by the work of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. The power of God caused that conception in the Virgin Mary. Or the second question, how did Jesus do all his works and miracles? As you study Luke 4, he's filled with the Spirit of power, and he's going to operate by the power of God. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him. He's been anointed to be able to do so. And you'll see where he says, power has gone out of me. In the book, in the Gospels, as you're reading, when somebody got healed, power goes out of him. Literally, power flows out of Jesus in all that he is doing as far as miracles, raising the dead and so forth, by the power of God. Jesus was raised from the dead by what? Well, in Romans chapter 1, by the Spirit of holiness, but there was also the sense of by the power of God, that he's declared the Son of God with power. It's by the power of the Holy. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, if you study this well, as you look through Ephesians 1 and 2, you're going to read about the incomparable power that we have in Christ, that it's the same power that was exerted when Christ was raised from the dead. So listen, this is where we got to just really grab a hold of this. The power of God that raised Christ from the dead is the power that's dwelling in you right now. Isn't that amazing? It's the same power that has come to live in us. And you're going to study that out in Ephesians chapter 1. The next question, the gospel is the power of God for the salvation for all who believe. And the next question, what is within you that you may live for Christ and be devoted? You ever felt like, man, I want to live for Jesus. Man, I want to be committed. I want to be consistent. I want to be devoted. Well, that's found in 2 Peter 1:3, a great memory verse to appropriate and on the foundation of that to live with confidence that you can live for Christ and that you can be devoted consistently to him. It simply says this, his divine power has given us everything we need for life, Zoe, that's the lifelike, Christ-like life. He's given us everything we need for that Christ-like life and for what else? For devotion, godliness. That word means a devotion to God, being able to be committed completely to the Lord. So you've got power within you, the reservoirs of God, the Holy Spirit within you. Whatever God calls you to be and live and to put out of your life and to put into your life, because of the Spirit and the new nature and the power of God within you, Yes, you can do it. The New Testament, speaking to believers, assumes their ability to get rid of sin issues, to be able to repent, and to be able to stand and put the Word of God into practice, because the power of God is permanently dwelling within you. That's the source now of your life in Christ, a dynamic power to live. That comes from the word dunamis, by the way. What is the Word of God that makes it unlike any other writing? Ephesians or Hebrews 4:12, that it's living and active. Well, there's also the word can be translated powerful, that it's got power within the Word. And well, you could go on through and study the rest of those. Take some time to read those and look at those, and just, you know, do your own Bible study and have interaction with the Lord. Learn how in that you can pray with power, that people can be healed by the power and presence of the Lord, that you can grow more and more powerful in Christ as you step out in obedience. So I just encourage you to continue to grow in the Lord, develop in the Lord, and just demonstrate your relationship, because His presence is unceasing and unbroken in you, inseparable. You can just have relationship with the Lord anytime, any place. But also the power of God is within. The power of God is not only within you to live the life. The promise of being clothed with the power of God from on high, in Luke chapter 24, also in Acts 1:8, we're to be clothed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? To be a witness of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm going to tell you that one of the most precious things is knowing God. One of the most dramatic and exciting things is launching out to be a witness for Christ, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Spirit of God. God wants people to get saved. God wanted you to get saved. That's why I don't know how people got to you or how you got the message, but God was operating in and on and through people to get you saved. And now the power of the Holy Spirit will be on you as you have surrendered and asked God, clothe me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be a witness. And that's the will of God. And we'll talk in another session going over the extent and the depth of being filled with the Spirit of God, but the overall purpose to be clothed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Everybody in the book of Acts who is said to be Spirit-filled was a witness for Jesus Christ. And they just wanted to pour out Jesus and point to Jesus. Well, that's simply like when you've had a... And here where I live, we have, once in a while, we have a little an outdoor campfire. We have a little area that's already cordoned off, and we'll put some wood out there, and I'll put kerosene on that. And there's been times I've run out of kerosene, so I put gas. Wow. And if you light a match with that, buddy, it really takes off. Now, if there's a fire already going, and you throw gas on the fire, guess what happens? The fire becomes more demonstrative. That's what happens being clothed and filled with the Holy Spirit. As the power of the Holy Spirit is upon you and in you, Christ becomes more demonstrative in you and through you. And as you share Christ, the power of God in and on you causes you to glorify Christ and speak of Him. Well, we can read about the power of God even in the work of signs, wonders, and miracles, the charismatic giftings, the work of God in, as we mentioned already, your prayer life and other areas, but also in the second coming. And I just mentioned one simple verse out of the book of Revelation 19, that salvation and glory and power belong to our God. And you can study Psalm 68 sometime, about where the writer there sees how God has operated in ancient Israel through His great power. And he mentions about how God has given strength or power to His people. And he prays again that God would once again show us that power of God. Power of God displayed in the angelic visitations and so forth, as we read Psalm 68 or even, again, Revelation 19. The power of God in reference to the return of Christ and our being caught up and change the mortal instantly being changed into immortality. Listen, my friend, that is by the power of God that is already dwelling within you. Hallelujah. So this session is on the living personal presence of Jesus and the power of Jesus within you and upon you. It's a tremendous relationship we have with Christ. I've mentioned some of the resources there. I think that A Blaze for God is one of the great, great, great Christian books, if you get a chance to study that. Charles Finney's Experiencing the Presence of God, who is a revivalist, and many great dramatic expressions of the manifest power of God, not only in personal life, but in cities that were revival struck. So I want to encourage you to really study the Word of God, walk with the Lord, worship the Lord, be a witness of Jesus, and just simply know that all the days of your life, the presence and power of God is with you. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the presence. He is the power. He really is. And so let me pray again. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we just simply take time to receive and acknowledge the truth of the Word of God, your presence in our lives, we worship you, we praise you, we acknowledge you. We simply say hallelujah and give thanksgiving to Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We acknowledge with the book of Revelation that salvation and glory and power belong to our God. We ascribe a power, God, to you. And I pray today that by your power, you will work in every single person's life who listens and digs into this study today. That every scripture verse, whether Romans 1:16 or whether Ephesians chapter 1 or 2 Thessalonians 1:7 on down in reference to the return, wherever we read, we'll continue to know that the power of God, the presence of God, is expressed through the Word of God and builds our lives. Let me mention this one thing right now, also, believer, at the end. Pray that you and other Christians will be. Here's what it says in Ephesians. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that, or with the result that, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, and high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that, for the very purpose that, you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Dear, sweet Christian friend, the Lord's blessing be upon you. I encourage you to continue to listen to sessions. Keep coming back if they're not all lit up yet. Week by week by week, we'll add more and more and more. And we'll have 30, 40, 50 eventual sessions here for you to grow in. If you know of a brand new believer in Christ or a believer who's just weak that needs foundations, send them over this stuff free and get them into the Word of God, get them into studies, and may God bless them. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, the organization Shatter the Darkness. You can find us on the web, shatterthedarkness.net. God bless.